Welcome to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. Scott Stanfield here, your host. This is another raw, uncut version of the podcast. I just wanted to get this out. Since we're all going to be on lockdown here, we're going to be safer at home. We're going to be shelter in place. Some of you are going to be in solitary confinement. I wanted to give you some things to take up your time that you and I all can come out of this stronger and with a growth mindset, stronger and better and improved, new and improved, if you will, from where we were before we went into this whole scenario. So what I'm going to really talk about today is a whole list of books that have changed me from the inside out. Yes, change me from the inside out. I'm going to start with actually a book that I actually put together and is available for download on my website, thegmcoach.com. Just click on free training. Yes, you're going to have to subscribe to my email list to get this, but that's where you can get this. And the title of this is called Upset to Happy in One Conversation. What this does is take you through a sequencing process on how to take, whether they're an employee, a guest, or a loved one, from one situation where they're emotionally hijacked all the way to where they're happy in a very, very short period of time. And it's all about listening and empathizing, apologizing, resolving the problem, and then thanking them for bringing the information to you. And then at the end, delighting them, going above and beyond and giving the best possible experience that they could have, whatever environment you're in. So the first one is Upset to Happy in One Conversation. The next one was spurred on by John C. Maxwell's, and this comes from a book. I didn't put this on the list because I haven't read the whole book, but his 25 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. It has one law. There's two that I really love, but one that this pertains to is called the Law of the Lid. And it basically explains that an organization will not rise above the level of the leadership that runs it. So the organization will not rise above the leader who is running it. So if you're an 8, your organization's a 7. If you're a 3, your restaurant is a 2, and it won't surpass you. And what happens is we are the lids for our restaurants. And when you take Dr. Travis Bradbury, who wrote Emotional Intelligence 2.0's quote, and he's a co-author on that, but he says that EQ, emotional intelligence, is a greater indicator for success than IQ. So if we can find a way to raise our emotional intelligence to a higher level, it will raise the lid on our organization and your restaurant will perform better. So this is not operations. This is not management. This is emotional intelligence, not how smart you are, not how fast you can process things, how fast you can put together a P&L and do math. This is how you can have self-awareness. You can have self-regulation. You can have social awareness and social regulation for in terms of emotional and intelligence. The other book in this is Look Up Anything by Daniel Goleman. He's written leaderships on emotional intelligence and leadership. And he's also written regular books on just emotional intelligence, very similar to the Emotional Intelligence 2.0 book with a co-author, Dr. Travis Bradbury. Now, Dr. Goleman is on a lot of talks. You can find him on YouTube as well. And just amazing stuff. So this is something you want to dig into. If you learn by listening, you can go to YouTube and listen to that way, or you can buy the book and you can read it during this time. What I love about Emotional Intelligence 2.0 is that you actually buy a new, when you buy a new book, it has a code in there. You can go online and you can take a test and it tells you which one of these four pillars you need to work on. So you may not actually need to read the whole book, just one section of the book that will help you raise your emotional intelligence in the fastest possible way. Okay. Here's this book. I've recommended this book probably to more people than anybody else. This is by former FBI lead hostage negotiator, Chris Voss. If you go on Amazon and you look at the reviews on this, it's 5-star and it just keeps growing. And he's been everywhere. Never split the difference. Negotiate like your life depends on it. Now, there's so many tools in here that would just blow you away. There's an inoculation. There's labels. There are mirrors. I use these things all the time. There are open-ended how questions will stop the attacker in their tracks. There is even a tool on how to get people to respond to an email that they haven't responded to you in 10 days and you get a response in less than 5 minutes. I've done this via text. I've done this to via email. I have done this even, talking to people, they're trying to give me the silent treatment at work. And these things happen. This is like being like, he calls it listener's judo, but this is like being a Jedi and having these mind tricks where you can play on people. So I highly recommend this book as well. So go out there and get this. Here's another one that's just, and this goes back into emotional intelligence, but straight up in the regulation department, the self-regulation department. And you also can help teach people these tools and tricks. This is a book called How to Perform Under Pressure, The Science of Doing Your Best When It Matters Most. This is a New York Times bestselling book, and absolutely fell in love with the things that are in here. This is co-written by Hendry Wessinger and J.P. Pavlov Fry. And there's 22 tricks in there. They actually explain the science behind this about how to perform better under pressure, but they have 22 things that will help somebody perform better under pressure. And I use these to teach our team members how to perform better when it matters the most. He uses great examples. And I even started asking people sometimes in interviews, I don't do it all the time, but I ask them, I said, do you perform better under pressure or not? And people would say they do, but according to this book, they say it's false. Now, what happens is I think people, if they have nothing going on and they get a little bit of heat on them, perform better because they step up their game and they do better. But then there's actually a point where they start degrading some. And that's what he talks about. I just recently heard, I was talking to somebody about this, and they told me that LeBron James's free throw percentage in the final closing seconds of a game is less than 50%, where his normal regular season average is over 70%. Michael Jordan, all these people we call by first name, Michael, Kobe, LeBron, none of their final second shots to win a game, their percentage was ever higher than a regular season percentage. Even people in playoffs, I think I remember seeing that Derek Jeter's playoff batting average was the same as his regular season batting average. So it's just what happens is what makes the greats great is that when they're under pressure, their performance doesn't degrade as much as other people. So what we have to do is A, have the emotional intelligence and awareness to be able to see where our other team starts crumbling, and then have the tools to teach them on how to perform better in the moment and push them further with the next shift that they work. All right. The next one, there's three books by this author that I absolutely love. And one of them specifically is my all-time favorite. And I've listened to the TED Talk about this book. It's got to be 150 times. It's 12 minutes long. And I've sometimes listened to it two or three times getting ready for work and going into work because it just helps center me so well. But this is none other than Simon Sinek. His first book is Start With Why. And most people talk about how they do things or what they do. It sets them apart. But very few people talk about why they do things. And if you can get behind this and build a cause around why you do something, about why you do something a certain way and why you're there, it can help move a team in a direction you've never seen before and to heights you've never seen before. So it's not always about what you do. It's not always how you do it. It's why you do it. And that will help build an intensity behind excellence. So I encourage you to really look into that. My favorite of his books is Leaders Eat Last. Leadership is a choice. It's not a rank. And that's a quote from Simon. It's about the environment. It's not about the people. It's in his TED Talk, he tells a story about this young man named Noah. And this actually may be in a different talk. He talks about Noah but Noah works in Vegas, is a barista, works at two different places. And one place, he just kind of keeps his head down and tries not to get in trouble. And the other casino that he works in or hotel he works in, he actually loves working there because all of the managers ask him if he needs help no matter what department they work in. So it's about environment. Another example he uses is that you may be 5 cents short on something at the checkout line and they make you pay to the penny. They make you break another dollar to get it because why? They'll get in trouble if they're short that nickel. And so that comes from above. It comes from the people above them. So be careful on what you're holding your team accountable to, because they're going to push that down to the guest and create a different experience for the guest than you may really want. And then his other one is infinite games, and it's explaining finite games and infinite games. I look at a dining experience as a finite game, but I look at the game of restaurants as an infinite game. Players will come and go, restaurants will come and go, but the game continues on. But inside of that, maybe a certain, a certain arbitrary time period that we're looking at, a P&L or sales or cover counts, or even like a greet all the way to check drop and they're exiting the building. So there, this is a really cool way to look at, not long-term and the long tail piece of this, but an infinite game and how it's played. And how we fit into the overall structure of restaurants and the whole history of restaurants from this point forward. And all right, this one changed me as a leader for sure, because up until this point, I thought I had to have every answer, and I don't have to have every answer. There's another book that's coming up that kind of helps with this as well. Turn the Ship Around. It's by retired Navy nuclear sub captain David Marquet. This is about his intent-based leadership, and he was featured, and his whole submarine was featured in The Eighth Habit by Stephen Covey. And intent-based leadership, somebody comes to you with a problem, and instead of you having the answer, you could ask them something like, what do you intend to do? What do you think we should do? What do you plan to do? And you actually are teaching people to answer their own questions and solve their own problems, and then you start, you don't have to do what they say, because we as the leaders and the managers of the organization, we have veto power. So this is really cool, because you may not know what the answer is. You may know what the answer is, but you may not know what the answer is. This gives you the liberty to ask a question. There are times that this has limits. This super freaking busy, you don't have time over in the corner and practice intent-based leadership. You may need to give them an answer so they can move forward and continue on, because it might be frustrating for them, or they may be a little stressed out to have to come to you with an answer. Sometimes a guest wants to talk to a manager. Sometimes a team member needs a manager to actually solve the problem for them. So I do caution you on going this 100%, but I do say there are times that where you can coach your team in a way by asking questions. And one of them is going to be using this intent-based leadership plan. The next one is The Coaching Habit. And he also has another book that just came out called The Advice Trap, which is what I was alluding to, the trap of falling into giving advice. And I haven't read that book yet, but Michael Bungay Stanier is actually booked and confirmed to be a guest on the podcast. And I'm looking forward to interviewing him at the end of the month. And so we're going to talk about The Coaching Habit. And it's so amazing, because he's not trying to convert everybody over to be a coach, which is really a big buzzword right now. He's actually saying that each leader and manager should have an element of coaching in them. And one of them is by asking questions. And I love his opening question, question number one, which is, what's on your mind? And you get them to answer the question. It's an opening question, and you get the people talking versus you coming in and saying, this is why I need to talk to you. They express what's on their mind, and then you can say, and what else? And you can kind of carry on from there and then go into your normal thing and segue into what you really want to talk about. Or there may be something on their mind that you weren't aware of. And so, as you can see, I'm really big into asking questions, and these are some great books that will teach you how to do this. All right, I'm going to move on here. This next book ties into something that I've been saying. I went to over 20 years, and I went to a marketing conference in Fort Lauderdale. And the marketing conference basically had one of these things where it said, the answer is yes, what's the question? And I've been saying that for a long, long time. But there was something in my blind spot, and it basically was using yes, but, or actually sometimes finding a way to say no in a way that sounded like yes, or what I thought was yes. And I'll give you an example of this. And Yes And is by Kelly Leonard. He's an executive vice president at the Second City Improv or acting school in Chicago, and they've got this really cool project coming up. But let's talk about Yes And. And anytime there's improv, and if those of you who remember the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, that's a huge improvisation. And when anybody says no, it stops the skit. So the whole goal is to keep the skit going. And the way it is the experience is happening between a guest and our team, or our team and you as a leader of a restaurant, is an improv that needs to keep going. So we have to find a way to say yes. And one of the things in the book is that yes, but is no dressed up in a tuxedo. And what I used to say when I worked in Park City, Utah, in this beautiful hotel, we had a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and there was these fireplaces in the private rooms that we used as regular dining rooms when they weren't booked. And for some reason, there was these, like, you know, 3 Mile Island nuclear reactors as in these fireplaces as heaters. And there'd be a couple sitting next to it, and they wanted the fireplace turned on. And I knew it would be too hot in the entire room in about 7.5 minutes. So I would say, yes, but they get really hot, and I'll have to come back and turn them off, and you won't be comfortable in those things. Then I heard this podcast about this book. And so I went and I changed my verbiage, and the verbiage turned into yes, and I'll come back and check on you in about 10 minutes. And it totally changed everything, because I would come back the next time and check on them in 10 minutes. And the one person in the couple would be so happy and so warm and so cuddly. And then the gentleman would have moved his chair away from it, and a bead of sweat was on his forehead, but he was smiling and said everything was fine. And everybody in the room was a little bit warmer. It's snowing outside, and it all worked out. So finding a way to say yes and is so much important to saying yes, but you won't like this. And so I highly encourage you to check in to that book. Now, there's a cool project going on, and I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes, because there's a partnership with a book written by Kim Scott called Radical Candor. And I'll tell you what I learned from that. Now, they're working together and putting together a program to where you can use radical candor with the yes and really getting where people are talking to each other and really expressing how they feel in this improv situation. I think it's super cool. I've been wanting to use improv in our restaurants for a long time, and I haven't been able to put it together. But I will say that I did ask a very famous improv person that was on Whose Line It Is It Anyway, that was in our restaurant, if he would consider teaching improv to our team. And we had a conversation about it, but it hasn't happened yet. But he said he might one day if he had some free time. But these guys are really busy, and that would be really cool to do, though. Anyway, radical candor. What I learned from radical candor is about ruinous empathy. And that's basically when you don't tell somebody when something's going wrong, and then next thing you know, you have them in the office and they're in trouble or they're getting fired, and it's a big shock to them because we didn't tell them all along that they weren't performing where we wanted them to be performing. And I've been in that situation, but recently it's more when I come into a new restaurant and nobody's told them all along. And then the first time I bring them in is such a big surprise about where they are in terms of their performance or their menu knowledge or poor service or complaints or any of those things that might be along the way. And so it's really a great lesson from that book. And I highly recommend all of these books that are on the list here. All right, we're going to move into one other book, and then we'll go into an article, and then we're going to wrap this up. This one was for me personally. I read this book 8 years ago. I was 40 pounds overweight. I was 40 years old. I was 40 pounds overweight for the second time. I was so dejected. I thought I was doing everything right. I was been a pescatarian for 10 years, and it just didn't seem to be able to figure out how I could maintain a healthy weight. Now, there's some, you know, stressed pattern eating in there for me. There's all these different things that were going on. I used to eat chocolate chip cookies like it was part of my afternoon job description. It was on my checklist. But what I found was with the Warrior Diet, it's a one meal a day program. It's a 20-hour intermittent fasting or under eating phase. And 8 years ago, this was kind of unheard of. And the first week that I did this, I lost 7 pounds in 7 days. And I'd lost 10 pounds in the previous 2 months just by trying to do P90X and work 10-hour days and commute to Salt Lake from Park City. And it was a struggle for me. And when I changed my diet, and after stumbling across this book that somebody actually had illegally like emailed me, I probably need to buy one just to make up for it. But I had it on PDF for a number of years. And it's maybe this is my payback, you know, touting it now. But my point being is that I've been an intermittent faster since that day 8 years ago, and I've been able to maintain my weight no matter what. Now, I've experimented with longer fast. I've done up to 21 days. I've done the Master Cleanse a couple times. My wife's much better at that than I am. I have done an 86-hour water fast. I had such a bad headache, I decided to break it 10 hours early instead of going to full 96 hours. And so, you know, I really, really love fasting. You don't have to do that level of fasting to maintain your weight. It's just something that I love doing to try to push myself mentally. So when things like this pop up, like, I don't know, a pandemic, that I don't have to go rush to the grocery store to get food like everybody else, because I know that I can go 4 days living on water. So just give me, you know, 4 gallons of water and I'm good for 4 days if I absolutely have to, because I've been down that road before. And so those are different things that I look at. So that book really taught me a lot about the potential and physiology of the human body and what we're capable of. And it gave me permission to skip breakfast. Yes, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but nobody says I had to have it at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and it had to be full of sugar. Even a banana is 25 grams of carbs in 100 calories. Well, you know, it's just taught me so much that you could look at things a completely different way and you didn't have to be tied to the way we were taught and the way we were brainwashed to eat when we were younger. The next one made the most humongous impact on me in terms of hiring. And it wasn't a book, it's an article in the Harvard Business Review. The story goes, for me, in terms of hiring, I didn't know how to hire people. I was working at the Hilton, and my interviews were 8 minutes long. And I really don't like doing interviews inside the restaurant because I don't want to disturb the guest experience. So I always, if there's a possibility, I'm going to be in a private dining room, or I'm going to be in a spare area or office inside of HR. And so I happened to be an HR director. Asked me what my questions were, because it wasn't, I was, like I said, it was 8 minutes long. So just a couple of months later, we had this mandatory behavioral-based interviewing class, and I went through that and I was intrigued, but I had some questions, but I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to be looking for, what the answers were. I didn't know any of those things. And about a year, maybe 18 months later, I stumbled across this article in Harvard Business Review. It's called The Ordinary Heroes of the Taj Hotel, and it's still available online. And I reread it probably once a quarter. So 4 times a year, I'll go reread this just to remind me of what I'm looking for in people. Now, what I did is I took and crafted questions based off what is in that article and what the Taj Hotel looks for in people, the Taj Corporation. And it was a really cool article, and it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways, because that hotel, if people remember this, was attacked by terrorists without training, without it being in the policy manual, with no procedure, wasn't in a rule book anywhere. All the employees went and put themselves between the guest and the terrorist and protected the guests from the attack. At least two, from memory, at least two employees, long-term employees, passed away from getting shot by putting themselves in harm's way. And so when you go look at the hiring practices and what they look for in people, and you start incorporating that into your restaurant, you'll see a difference the way that we have in terms of how we hire people. Now, here's a bonus book. This is from my friend, Kerry Luxon. This is the Restaurant Operators HR Playbook. What I love about this book is at the end of each chapter, it's got a chapter, it has a worksheet. I need a little bit more coffee, I guess. But at the end of each chapter is a little workbook page, so you can actually really cement in these each chapter as it comes along, as you go through it, and is really amazing. Understand how dialing in leadership and HR processes outlasts a trendy concept or a great location every time. Create a culture that attracts the right talent. Incorporate onboarding processes that set expectations early and reduce turnover. Prioritize relationships with your team and reap the rewards of increased motivation and engagement. And it goes on and on and on. Absolutely amazing. I love this book. I've actually interviewed Kerry for the podcast. The episode hasn't come out yet. We spent 2 hours and 23 minutes on the phone just to get an hour podcast. I love talking to her. It's amazing. She's a spark plug. She's a firecracker. And if you see her on LinkedIn anywhere, just plug into what she's doing. I love her stuff. And I just tap into her energy. So that's it. That's the book list that I have here. Let's do a little recap here. Upset to Happy in One Conversation, written by yours truly, for free download on my website, thegmcoach.com. Just click on free training. Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. Emotional Intelligence 2.0, co-authored by Dr. Travis Bradbury. Never Split the Difference, Negotiating Like Your Life Depends on It by former FBI lead hostage negotiator Chris Voss. How to Perform Under Pressure, The Science of Doing Your Best When It Matters Most, Hendry Weisinger and J.P. Pavlov-Fry. Author Simon Sinek, Start With Why, Leaders Eat Last, and Infinite Games. Turn the Ship Around by retired Navy nuclear sub captain David Marquet. The Coaching Habit and the Advice Trap, Michael Bungay Stanier. Yes And by Kelly Leonard. Radical Candor by Kim Scott. The Warrior Diet. And also the article in the Harvard Business Review, The Ordinary Heroes of the Taj Hotel. That's it. That's my list. If you want to find me, you can find me on thegmcoach.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I look forward to hearing from you. Again, my name is Scott Stanfield. This is the GM Coach. This is the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. Cheers.